Are you writing them down, huh? Who wanna go first? I'm playing. I ain't gonna make y'all get up here. No. I did it year before last, and that was my last time doing it. My first and last time doing it, because I had to sit a couple people down. But that's how I learned how to preach. Right there? Ain't no collaborative preaching. Ain't no tag team. Nah, you got to have a message on you. You going to have a word to speak. That's how I learned, though. You got it tonight. You got it tonight, and then I just, what you going to do? So, any minute, it may be like that for you. Especially around here messing around with apostle. Or you called, or you graduated school. Come up here and give a word real quick. Ain't no time to get ready right there. But I do want to hear some things from you before we leave. There's a couple of things I want you to see. Go to Mark 10. Mark chapter 10 real quick. And these are a couple of things that I can leave you with. It's our last class, right? Right. There's one, I should have wrote it down. But Mark 10, and it's talking about the rich. Now, rule of verse 17, and I'll leave some words with you. We've been reading Matthew 16, and the conversation is the same, always with Jesus. This is what church looks like. You want to know what church looks like? Anyone close the door for me, somebody? You close behind you. Y'all don't have to get up and preach. Y'all don't have to get up and say nothing. I should have let her keep thinking I said it. I'm like, hey, you first. Mark chapter 10. And when he was going forth in the way, there came one running, kneeling, asking him, good master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life? And I when I talk about this section of scripture, I'm kind of harsh. I'm a little bit harsh. And you have to forgive me, but I don't really care. Forgive me, but I really don't care if you forgive me or not. But I'm kind of harsh with how I approach these scriptures and how I approach church. And the reason I am, because it's been too doggone long that we've had Jesus come and die on the cross for us and show us what church is for us to be acting the same way we acted before him. It makes no sense for you to come acting like you don't have no money to get clothes and I gave you money. It makes no sense for you to act like you need food or you begging for food and I provided for everything that you needed. And many times when I look around in the church as a whole, I see this. I see this idea. I see this mindset. I see this false sense of spirituality and false sense of honor and false humility, but we deny the power of our true selves. I know the scripture says don't think more highly than you ought to think, but it says more highly than you ought to think, which means there's more high, but there's still high. Are you understanding me? And you can't tell me that I got a form of godliness on the inside of me. You can't tell me things like, great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Y'all know that? You can't tell me that I can do all things through Christ with strength. You can't tell me with men is impossible, with God, nothing is impossible. You cannot tell me that I can speak to a mountain and it move and me not have some confidence in who I am. But the confidence is where? In who? I am. Are you understanding? But for so long, we've been denying that. There's some things we learned in this class this year that I thought I was teaching, but I was learning at the same time that we just never heard, or we just wasn't familiar with, or hadn't been exposed to us. And so we're going through the normal good church people, and failing. So I'm very explicit, and I'm very strong when I reach this. And verse 17 looks like church, running and kneeling. You get it? They running and they kneeling, and they saying, good master. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We bless you. We honor you. What does that mean? What are you doing? What does it really mean to worship God and to praise God? Is it just with your lips? Is it just with your hands? Is it just with your running? Is it just with your mannerisms? Huh? And if it's with your heart, right, then what does that look like? I mean, you squint a little harder? No. And I'm nothing wrong with you squinting. Ain't nothing wrong with you lifting your hands. Ain't nothing wrong with you running. But are you running with a purpose? Are you running with some heart? Jesus always talked about, he said, they talk, they're close to me with their lips and they say good things to me, but their heart is far from me. This has been the church. And this is the epitome of usual. This is why things go the same. This is what the enemy wants us to be. I'm cool with y'all doing all that. As long as you don't know who you are, I'm cool with you slinging all. You can know a bunch of the scriptures. You can say, oh, long as you don't know who you are. So verse 17, this is what church looks like. This verse 17 is this church. He says, he running, he kneeling, and good master. And then he asks him, what you want me to do? Right? Don't look like church? Come on, slow, read that scripture. Good master, what you want me to do? And then, because all I want is what? Come on, all I want, an inheritance of what? All I want is going to go to heaven. I want the good stuff they've been talking about. That's the epitome of church. This is why we fail. This is why there is no benefit to others. This is why people don't beat down the doors to be here where we are. This is why. Because subliminally, and it's good people, I understand that, but good people don't get nothing done. Right? Being a good person don't say nothing. Right? Good people is the people Jesus was talking about that said, depart from me, I never knew you. They're good people. Subliminally underlined, Jesus said, I read it last week about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the leaven of the Pharisees was they were doing everything they were doing to try to, here we go, please God so that they can get what they wanted from him. If there was no heaven and if there was no hell, where would your heart be? If there was no reward, if Luke 6:38, who knows what Luke 6:38 says? Anybody? Anybody in the house know what Luke 6:38 say? Okay, so if that scripture just said give, if it just said give, you know Luke 6:38 says give and should be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running. Y'all know the scripture now, right? Yes, commit it to your mind. Everybody say Luke 6:38. Say it again, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. One more time, commit it to memory. Say Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press down. Come on. Shake together. Come on. Show what? Men give them to you. But so with the same measure you meet. What scripture is that? Where is that at? Luke what? 6:38. Ain't that hard to remember, all right? But what if that scripture just said give? It ain't say nothing about giving unto you. Good measure, press down, shake, and get it running over. Shall men give them to your bosom? Would you? Would you? Or are you like everybody else in society that wants what they want for them? You know it's your number one problem, right? You know, the number one reason people don't want to die for yourself. The number one reason you don't want to sacrifice is because you want it. You say, well, whatever. There's something wrong with me wanting. No, there's nothing wrong with you wanting. But your wants are not the foundation for the process. And in everything that we've done, look, our faith, our prayer, our worship, our fasting. Come on, name something else spiritual that we do. Church people, come on. I name them all. Come on, something else spiritual we do. Come on, giving. Come on, tithe. All that's for us. We all trying to get something. You worshiping the Lord so he don't be mad at you. You ain't tell me you love me today. Like he really not up there saying, well, you ain't said you love me today. What you know? He ain't really thinking about that. Matter of fact, can I tell y'all what God really is? Can I tell you who he really is? God is really, he is who he is. God is love. Love is God. God is already set in place and does not move for you or anybody else. His will and who he is the same thing. And it's already set. They said on this, they said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Love the Lord your God all your heart, your mind, your soul. Second is like it to what? Love you like you love yourself. Now watch this. He said on this hangs all the law and the prophets. That means it's a banner. God is the banner. And he doesn't move. He's already in place. Jesus Christ is the same when? Yes. Yesterday, when? Today, and forever. So, meaning the process doesn't change. How we relate to the Father is the problem. Because what measure you meet, what happens? It's measured to you. So sparingly you, so bountifully you. You have to understand, I want y'all to hear this before I finish. I want y'all to understand that this is what Jesus is telling us. Your faith made you whole. Be it unto you according to your faith. The story has been the same. I read John chapter 17 today. Have you ever read John chapter 17, the prayer? Go look at it. John chapter 17, real quick. Not real quick, just go there. And he is explicit. He is clear about what he's saying. John chapter 17, and I ain't got time to read the whole thing, but this is one of the only times recorded that Jesus prayed for us. He's praying for people here. And he goes through it. I gotta holler. I can't read everything. He goes through jump down to verse 11. And you have to read it for context. I may read this every day. After the day I read it, I may start reading this every day. Verse 11, he says, "Now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be what? How? This is his last, this is his prayer he prays for his time to go. And this is what he asked for. He didn't ask for nothing else. He didn't say save me. He didn't say touch me. He didn't say heal me. He didn't say deliver me. He didn't say give me this. He didn't say anything. He didn't say you're great and you're, he didn't say any of this. He said those that you gave me out of this world, keep them through thy name, thy character. And please let them be, that they may be one as we are." It's explicit. Is there any way around that? Do you need a revelation? Is there an interpretation that you need to get? That's pretty clear. It's not a parable. It's not an allegory. It's real plain what he wanted, huh? I'm going to read just because the next one. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gave me, I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world." What did the next line say? "They might have joy fulfilled where?" What? Where's the joy fulfilled? No, in accomplishing. When they graduate this, or when they go get married, or when they go have kids, or when they start a church, or when they get a doctorate, or when they graduate ministry school, those things are going to bring them joy. No, where is the joy? In themselves. Jump down to verse 21. And don't jump to these scriptures when you're reading them on your own. Read the whole chapter. Verse 21, read it. Read them together. Ready, read. "That they all may be what? Oh, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be what?" Where? Come on, it's pretty clear. Come on, we can't get around this. Come on, we can't get around this moment of the original intention. So now here he is praying. All this stuff I've been telling you, all this stuff we've been talking about, all these things we've been trying to get, I've been trying to say them in different ways for you to understand in your different ways that your mind work, that the end goal is that we won. And that's it. Verse 22, "And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them. That they may be what? Huh? Even as we are." Now verse 23, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in." That's the point. So the point is, go back to
Mark 10.
I can't get around this. This is the only way it's going to happen. So you just have to, it is what it is. You cannot get around giving up what you think is important. Now, I know we're steeped in some things. And sometimes, like, we've been married for a long time. Now we got to retool how we think about it. Sometimes we've been in certain things, we've put certain things in priority, but now we've got to retool them to let them be founded upon the rock, which is Jesus. Not we go to church, but that Jesus is the most important thing. That we being one with the Father is the most important thing. So this is why Jesus often checks us with the things that are dearest to us. What makes up your life right now? Go. And what's something that you gotta have in your life? Come on, you gotta have it. Y'all gotta have each other. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Some things that you gotta have. I gotta have my family. I gotta have my children. I gotta have my good church service, right? I gotta have some clothes. If they're not good clothes, just clothes. Just clothes. I can't be walking around here naked, right? I gotta have something to eat. I gotta, and it seems like it's all the most things that we think are important in life are the things that he checks us with. He tells you, you need to leave her behind for the gospel. Go, go. You ain't nobody left wife for the gospel ain't gonna receive 100-fold. And 100-fold on the other turn side of that. That's hard to conceive though. Because they keep telling us, now you got a whole hand, stay together. Right? No problem with that. That's not the problem. The point is, what is the foundation? Because every other thing will go with the sand. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? But why does Jesus challenge with all these things? He challenged with your mother and your father. And your brother and your sister, your husband and your wife and your children. Lord. Why you go that hard? Why is mom and brother outside and he said, come see him? He said, who is my mother and my brother? Uh-oh. Why does he say this? Why does he do this? Why is it that he's challenging us with those things? Why he don't send us on no journey? Well, Lord, you know, we be ready for that. Lord, send us on a journey to Mecca. Right? Send us on a little journey, a little spiritual scavenger hunt. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll do that better. No, he starts challenging you with the things that you think are important. Because if you never sacrifice that, you'll never see me in that. You've got to die to things. It's not that life ain't on the other side. That's why they were so scared over Matthew 16. That's why Peter rebuked Jesus that time. Because he was scared to die. Because they thought dying, they didn't know it was another side. They were scared. They didn't want to die. They thought dying was giving up. We know that, come on, Easter coming up in a couple weeks, right? In a week or so, right? We know he's alive, right? Come on, I can't hear y'all. Y'all know we're going to be screaming in church next week. Y'all know we're going to be screaming in church next week. Just say it like that. Yes, he's alive. You know he's alive, right? Yes. Hindsight is crazy, man, because we see the story, and then we see the resurrection, and we just like, that's so nice. Look at Jesus. Got on up in 3 days. He did it just like he said. No, you. I don't know what else to check you with. What else I'm going to check you with? Come on, what else I'm gonna check you with? Well, be deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever man, that's what he gonna reap. What measure you, is measured back to you, right? So sparingly, so bountifully. He give them talents, the one talent, two talent, five talent, right? According to the what? Several what? Ability. I don't know no other way to explain this. So if you want it all, what you got to give? So now the question is, do you want it all? I want 100-fold. It's telling us all through the Old Testament. Woman got a little piece of meal and sticks or whatever. She about to go make. She gonna make me a cake for me and my son. We gonna die. And I make me a cake first. He was trying to tell us something. The whole time from the beginning till now, the Father has been challenging us. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. God, dog. I heard Apostle say something the other day. He'd been on our staff and he'd been really pushing us really, really hard. And I love it. I love it through the roof because I love the pressure. Pressure make you better. And he says, he tells some girls working at the house, some of us working at the office. He said, I'm giving you a chance. Listen to what I'm trying to tell y'all. He said, just have what I need to have when I want it. He said, if you need to go get something from the store, make sure you get it. I don't care. If we got to throw it away, we'll throw it away. But I want to have it when I want it. If I need something, don't think average. I need you to think over above. I need you to think way more than the normal thing to do because I just need to have it when I have it. He said, listen, you're spending my money anyway. He said, I'm letting you make me happy with my money. Y'all ain't catching me right now. No, y'all not hearing me. Y'all not hearing me. They not hearing me online. I know they ain't hearing me. Just give it a second for a second. He said, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. He said, I'm allowing you to make me happy with my money. You understand that statement? What does that statement mean? What does that statement mean? Anybody understand that statement? I mean, you ain't spending nothing. You ain't got nothing. You ain't spending none of yours. I give you $100. Tell you to go get something for you. And I'm like, oh my God, oh Lord, but you only use what I gave you. In Chronicles, In Samuel, they were in debt, distress, discontentment. Samuel 22. In Chronicles, they come back and they're giving billions to build the temple with David, right? And they start giving, everybody throwing in a bunch of money and everybody giving a bunch of stuff. And David say, hold up, what is this that we giving? We making a big deal about giving some. This already yours. Who gave us this in the first place? And you got the nerve to say you don't want to give it up? You've got the nerve to think that you created something. The audacity of us. Why, all right, now watch it. It makes so much sense, don't it, right now? Right now it's like clear, like, oh, I never look at it like that, right? Everybody said, I ain't never look at it like that. I know, come on, say, I never seen it like that. Oh my God, my mind is blown. Say it, come on. Oh my God, come put your hand. Oh my God, my mind is blown. Okay, so is that hard to understand? Does it seem very difficult to do? No. It does a little bit, but it don't. But right? But why do we not see that? Why don't we see that before? We flooded with other things. And we're flooded with other ideas. You know, this American Christianity can make it all about you. Touch me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. We'll help the other people, but save me, Lord. The reason God told the children of Israel not to take wives from other communities or to mingle with other communities is because they were killing the essence of who he was and who he was making them to be as one. The Shema, the love the Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, and soul, it's called the Shema. They were doing that since the Old Testament. Why does he have to say, they said, what's the greatest law? He said, you know what your greatest law is because y'all been reading it since you've been kids. It's the Shema, love the Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Another one said, all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, right? We know it's clear. But then I got to say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I got to tell you that it's just like the first one. That wasn't written in the Shema, but it's in the Shema, but people weren't doing it. And the only reason I got to tell you to love your neighbor like yourself is because I made y'all all one. Ain't nobody got nothing that nobody else ain't got. But this other government has taken over and has poisoned. You know, you want to poison the water in the city? Go to the river. Go to the river that feed the city. Go to where the water coming from and pour a little poison right there. You don't have to go to and everybody house say, hey, you want some poison? No, just pour it in the reservoir right there. Pour it in the streams. Whatever stream you're taking in, television, radio, conversations, right? Church, pour it in the stream. Let the pastor be wanting a lot of stuff. Ain't gotta be filthy lucre, like y'all know we used to say filthy lucre when we was younger, right? And ain't gotta be filthy, it could just be, you know, they just teaching you that you love yourself. Go get what you gotta get in Jesus' name. That faith for you. You can use my money and make me happy with my money. I'm letting you take my money and make me happy with my own money. Question, what you got that you got? I'll wait. Tell me, because I'm going to have another question right there, so you got to answer me for real now. Tell me what you got that you got. And by your power, that you did it. Tell me what you got. Nothing. So what? All right, so tell me what you're holding on to then.
Nothing.
You sure? I'm going, hey, you sure? He's been checking us since the beginning. Abraham had Isaac, and God told him, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham messed it up in there, went in there, tried to do his own way, right? Right, tried to go in there and do it his own way. Him and Sarah come up with a plan. And I'm gonna go with my handmaiden and go ahead and let you lay in there with her. And now you done made this child that wasn't the one I intended, but I gotta bless him anyway because he come out your loins. Huh? Try to do it your own way. How many Ishmaels you got? No, I'm not talking about. I don't like using the word illegitimate children or stuff like that. I think all children are born to be born. All right, I'm not saying go just make some, but you get what I'm saying. But how many Ishmael plans did you make? But then it seemed like I want one of them when I finish. Okay, I just want to say it right now before I leave out. It's a little candy. How many? I gotta say it right now as on my mind because I may forget and leave out. How many? He tells Abraham that they 900 years old. This is not supposed to happen. He promises him Isaac. Here comes Isaac, just like the Lord said. Did you know Abraham and Sarah laughed when the Lord told them that? What kind of father of faith? What kind of hall of faith is that? He's the father of faith. Make you feel better about yourself, don't it? He gave him Isaac, right? And then said, take him up there and sacrifice him. He gonna wait there, wait till you got used to him. He 11, 12, y'all like his laugh. Now you see his smile. You see the resemblance. Y'all, look at my, and then you're protecting him and stuff. Y'all know how we go. We protect, no, stand over here. You can't play with the rest of the kids because you're special. The Lord's gonna use you because he gave you to me in a special way. And the Lord said, take him up the mountain. I want him. I want to see if you more about him or you more about me. See, God does not care about your fleshly connections. Take it up on the mountain. Take it up on the mountain. The only reason we would have seen the son of faith, because Abraham was the father of faith, we would have seen the son of faith resurrect early if Abraham wouldn't have thought about himself. Go back and read it. You ever read that scripture? God didn't say he's going to provide a ram. Abraham said that. So God had to do it because Abraham said it. If Jesus said, Lord, if you can't let this cup pass from me, right? If he doesn't snap and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, the Father would have let the cup pass. Oh, y'all think it's like automatic. This is not no automatic storyteller where press a button and then the story going to go. Remember the little books you used to read and be like, choose A or B and the story go. No, it's not like that. This thing could have really went another way. Go back and read it. Abraham says, Lord, because I didn't get to asking, I would have asked too. Where the ram? Where the goat? I see the knife and I see the wood. I know what we do with this. Where the other piece at? Right? All they had to do was say, son, the Lord told us to go up here, let's go up here in faith. We're going to be all right. Because I know if he'd have told him he was a sacrifice, it would have been a fight on his hand. Right? Abraham, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Abraham wanted a ram in the thicket. Abraham didn't want to go all the way with Isaac. Abraham didn't want to separate from Isaac. So Abraham forfeited the opportunity for resurrection. And we clap. The ram was there, like he said. Everything that you speak into existence ain't what God intended. Oh my. Everything is a harvest. Everything. There is nothing that is that isn't a harvest. There's nothing that's ever happened or ever went on or ever showed up that wasn't a harvest of something else. If it was something that just showed up out the air and it wasn't a product or a product of a cause and effect or a harvest of something else, then this whole thing is messed up and God has been lying the whole time. Everything is a harvest. So now even how much stuff are you speaking to existence right now? And don't mean walk around like a mute. Don't say nothing. Sometimes you do need to walk around and mute if your mouth loose. But how many things have you spoken to existence that wasn't his? Oh, that's what you want? I'll give it to you. Oh, that's what you feel? I'll give it to you. See, you're powerful. Say, I'm powerful. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm powerful. Come on, say, I am power. Not empowered. You are power. So you don't even understand how powerful it is what you say. And there are some things that you can speak into existence that wasn't his original plan. And you'll speak it, and it'll show up, and you'll praise God because what you said came to pass, not even realizing that it's not his will. Wow. This next level, y'all. This is. Okay, say it and believe it. Confess it and believe it is one thing. But now, what's in front of the confession? What comes before the confession? Huh? God's will got to come before the confession. And God's will ain't got none of yours in it. I'm sorry. We shouldn't have signed up for this. If we wanted to do that, you ever seen The Matrix? They say red pill, blue pill. He said you can take this red pill and just keep living the same way you've been living. Everything going to be fine. You can go ahead and live your life out, retire, and everything going to be good. You'll never know the difference. But if you take this one, you're in trouble. Powerful. You don't know it. You've been forfeiting your power for things that everybody's been telling you is powerful. You've been trading in your diamonds for rocks. Yeah, people trying to inject their will on you all day long. All these things, so it's simple. This church, Jesus said to him, "Why calls thou me good? Ain't none good but God, but one, that is God, but one. Ain't none good but one." This is what he said in John 17. "I pray that y'all, that you keep him so that it be what? One, huh? One. Ain't none good but one. So if it ain't one, it ain't good." Y'all ain't hear me? Y'all couldn't have heard me because nobody said amen. I said, if it ain't one, it ain't good. Thou knowest the commandments. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Be on time for church. Make it to prayer. Don't cuss. Come on, y'all know the hard ones we got. Don't be mean to nobody. Come on, all that's in that list. Jesus couldn't keep going on because there's so many doggone laws. He'd have been there still reading right now in 2019, reading how many laws there were to see if he followed all of them. Oh, yeah, he answered. I've observed these since youth ministry. I've observed this since I was in the youth group. I learned this in the youth when I was in the youth group and came out of children's church. I've been doing that since then. And Jesus behold him, loved him, and said, how many things? How many? How many? Like, you see, Jesus, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Yeah, because they ain't number ones. Ain't number ones. Come on, count. Ain't number, you count with one. One, two, there's another one. Added to the other one is two. It's easy count now. Ain't no multiplication, no. See, multiplication, all that stuff's from him. See, we're trying to favor God. See, we're trying to put favor on something, we're trying to put favor on top of nothing. Favor me, Lord. No. Where's the foundation? You can't have favor without a foundation. I don't have nothing to build on. I don't care if you got marble. You put marble on the dirt, and it's going to do the same thing every other material do. I don't care what you got. If you put it on something without a foundation, it's going to go away as soon as the rain comes. One thing thou lackest. There's one thing you ain't got. It's one thing that you ain't got. It's one thing. Look at me. It's one thing that you ain't got. He didn't go down the list of, well, you know, you need to change this about yourself. You know, you change this about yourself. Hey, you need, because I know for me, let me speak for myself. And so I know, because y'all might lie if I ask y'all. I'm going to speak for myself, and then we're all going to speak for ourselves, that I know if the Lord had to have a list of things that need to be changed with me individually, the list would be on the floor all the way out through the door and through the front of the sanctuary and all the way to my car and back up here. That's how long the list would be, and that's probably not long enough. How many things he want me to change about me, just me thinking about me. Y'all going to lie to me, though. That's cool. No, you ain't got to receive it. Yeah, receive it. But then you got it already. You already got that one. Right? He don't go through all that. One thing you're lacking. You've been trying real, real hard to get it all right. This is the message for life. You ain't never heard a message better than this one. Well, you know, I heard some great. I don't care what you heard. All of them talking about this. We had a great worship song, feeling the spirit. One thing thou lackest. So how do I get to this one thing? I got 2 minutes. How do I get to this one thing? Look at the scripture. One thing thou lackest. So he said, go thy way and do what? Oh, you got to sell what you got. Mm-hmm. All the stuff that you acquired, you got to sell it. Mm-hmm. Sell what you got. Come on, Jesus tell you right now. Apostle come in and tell you right now, go sell all your stuff. Y'all going to have a problem. Y'all leaving the church. I know you're going to leave. Or you going to sit there and say, can we have a conference? Now, Apostle, I love you, but everything? You want me to sell everything I got and come to the meeting? That's why I don't be doing that, because we ain't ready. We ain't ready for that. We ready for the action. Go thy way. Go your own way. Go the way that you had, like the way that you made up already, go that way. And then sell it. Sell your way. Get rid of your way. Your way ain't doing it no way. Look, if your way was working, you wouldn't be over here standing by me asking me, how do I hear eternal life? Look, the fact that you're sitting in this room right now is the epitome of the fact that you know that something is wrong with you. Every time you come to church, it's sitting right there. Now we might come and say, no, we get to worship the Lord. And we all I see is you here because you know you're missing something. Otherwise, you wouldn't have signed up. Go sell what you got, please. Sell what you got. Give it to the poor, take up the cross, and come and die with me. And I'm going to show you what dying looks like. And that's the one thing that you need. We've been tricked. I can't even say it enough. I can't even sit there enough. I can't meditate enough. I don't even know how to get it through the head. We've been tricked to run after a bunch of things. And I'm not talking about even stuff. Like, I know you ain't no... Or give me a call, Lord. I know, or maybe something like that, but you know you ain't. But it's just like, am I on the line? Is there anything I can't give up for the sake of the gospel? It's church. I mean, that's the whole Bible. I just preached the whole Bible to you. I just preached the whole Bible to you and then one of the scripture. You know, every time, I got to go. Give me my candy, please. I want all of them. Just give me that little yellow one right there. Give me an orange